Hey, podcast listeners, I am literally beating my head up against the wall because I realize that I still stutter in these next two episodes. I apologize. Part three up next.
Do you think that video games cater to a bad mindset?
What do you mean?
So let's say, like, toxic people.
I don't think video games try to, inherently. But some games inadvertently do end up attracting toxic people. And then PvP games inherently end up making some people upset because in a game where the only way to win is to make sure someone else loses, someone's going to be upset. And you don't find it until, like, the really, really high-level players when people are okay with losing because they can understand what they're doing wrong. But when someone doesn't know what's going on and they lose, they get upset. And so PvP games inherently have that, but there are steps that games can take, and I don't know of them because I've never built a game, but I know that there are steps that games can take to try to prevent people from getting super upset when they lose. Like, people get a lot less upset when they lose in a battle royale, for example, than when they lose a game that's maybe like a 5v5 type game.
Okay.
Because in a battle royale, one person out of 60 is going to win. And so people don't expect that they're going to win. They get really excited when they do, and when they lose, they're like, crap, and then they move on to the next game. But in a game where there's only going to be one winner and one loser, people feel really terrible when they lose, unless there's some obvious reason that they can see why they did.
Okay.
And for most of the community, they can't see it, because they don't have enough experience.
Are you referring to Battle Royales, or...
No,
just any game
PvP
that...
in general. PvP,
okay.
And so there's, for any game, pretty much any game, I'm trying to think of exceptions, and I can't think of any off the top of my head. For almost any game where there's a winner and a loser, there's so much more going on than any one person can properly analyze. Then there's so much more going on than any one person can analyze, so... It's really difficult to understand why you lost, and when you don't understand why you lost, it's upsetting, inherently, just because people don't like what they don't understand, and when what they don't understand is a negative thing, it makes it even worse. And so, even a game that seems simple, like Rock, Paper, Scissors, there is a ton of really complex strategy involved in that game when you get deep into it. I started looking up, like, how to win at Rock, Paper, Scissors, and there's just... pages and pages and pages of psychology and strategy and what the best move would be based on what your opponent's standing, how they carry themselves, how they talk, and I'm just like, this is too much. and it's ridiculous. It's almost impossible to fully understand the game. And so when you're at that low level of understanding, it's way too easy to become toxic in a game. And off the top of my head, the one that has the most problems is League of Legends. That game is complex on the surface. Like, at the base, it's you and four other people are trying to get into the base of five other people and break their nexus.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately underneath that, not even very deep under the surface, there's all the different champions you can play, all the different things you can do with all the different champions. There's rune pages that you have to try to balance that have all these different things that they could add to the game. They could give you more money. They can give you more CC power. They can give you higher attack. There's items that do the exact same thing, and there's a ton of item slots. There's summoner spells. There's all these things that people just have a hard time understanding, and I feel like that's why it's so difficult to get into League in the first place, just because there's 80 to 100 things being displayed to a person the very first time they open in a game. And it's really hard to understand all of that. And so trying to actually understand why you lost is something that you can't really understand until you've played the game for several hundred hours. And even then, some people don't understand. And they... Making sure to not make noise.
Can you go on?
And so... I don't think games try to make toxic players, but the more interesting a game is, the more likely it is people are not going to understand it fully. And if it's a player versus player game, it's very likely to end up with toxic players in the community.
So it kind of sounds like that PvP games just kind of
And I realized offer... that halfway through. I have seen some people playing completely single player games who just get salty as hell because they keep losing, and I think it boils down to how complex a game is versus how much someone understands it. When I lose at Terraria, I know why.
Okay.
And so most of the time, I'll be mostly upset at myself for trying something the way I did it, because I know it was a bad idea. But I've seen a lot of people who lose to a boss in Terraria and they're like, it's so easy, how did I even die to this thing? And they just get really salty. And then there was another game that I had. I can't remember what it was. There was another good example. But it's basically, how much do you understand the game? And the more likely people are to be able to get into a difficult part of the game without understanding it, the more likely they are to become salty, I think. But then it's also difficult because how do you make sure the player can fully understand that part of the game before they get there without just making the game super easy and just handing them everything? Because then it's just boring. And I don't know the answer to that.
I guess with that, actually, have you played any of the Portal games?
Yeah.
Okay. So in Portal, did you ever feel like that, you know, it became so frustrating that you think that, you know, it's better to just, like, actually get upset at the game other than just, like, the game's... To kind of, like, here's my mindset with Portal anyways. Portal is, I would really say, like, logic-based.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, if logic is the entire theme of the game, then if you're struggling in a place, I'm assuming you have the discipline to just basically, like, okay, how can I go about this logically? Wouldn't you say that that would be the opposite of facilitating a mindset of, like, complete frustration and anger, where it's like, no, we're giving you the answers as to why you could be upset, but if you are getting upset, it's just because you don't have the discipline to follow the logic trail. So, would you say that that would be a case of, you know, not bad design for mindset?
Portal?
Yeah.
I think Portal is kind of unfair because it's probably one of the best examples of a game that gives you all the tools that you need to beat it slowly without making you feel like an idiot.
Okay.
Because I don't think you you like actually think about it when you're playing it, but the tutorial for Portal is like 70% of the game. And you're playing through the tutorial the whole time thinking, I'm making progress in the game, and you're not got to the game yet. The whole time you're in the test chambers doing those puzzles, you're still in the tutorial. And that's most of the game. Like, the actual gameplay starts when you break out of when you first break out of the test chambers. And then the tutorial's over, and now you're actually in the game playing it, making progress towards the actual goal. And the only part of that entire game that felt unfair to me was towards the end, or literally at the end, because I wasn't paying attention. And it was when you have to, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't finished Portal yet, when you have to shoot the moon.
Oh, right.
Because it didn't register in my mind that the panels that the portals appear on was made of moon dust. Like, I understood that it was the white panels that do it, and anything else just doesn't work. But there was a point when the guy said, we made these things out of moon dust, and we could put portals on them. But that fact just didn't register in my mind. And so when it got to the end of the game, and I was supposed to shoot the moon, I was looking all over, like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And then finally the moon shone, like, 40 times at me. It was, like, twinkling, like, up here, up here. And I was like, can I shoot the moon? It didn't work. And then, like, 20 seconds later, it felt like 20 seconds, probably like 2 seconds, it actually worked, because it has to, you know, travel
all the way over there, right.
And it worked, and things started getting sucked out of the ground, and I was like, oh! And that was the only point in the entire game when I truly got frustrated.
Right.
And there were puzzles that I got stuck on, and I couldn't solve, but I wasn't going, this game is bullshit, it's poorly designed. It was like, what am I missing here? How come I can't figure out where this is supposed to go? And that was because I hadn't paid attention. And I think that they could have made a little bit better, like, they could have made something that said, like, you should probably pay attention to this fact, but then that would kind of give away the ending, in a way. And I was only stuck in the very ending moment for 10 seconds, so it didn't really ruin the game. But there are games that have a harder time giving a player all the tools that they need. And there's some games that they do give the player all the tools that they need, but they don't explicitly, like, they don't make it so the player fully understands the tool before they move on. They're just like, you can do this. And the player's like, cool, I can do that. And then they leave. And I've noticed that. I don't know if it's because I'm just terrible at strategy, but I've noticed that in a lot of strategy games. They just lay out, like, 50 different ways to do something.
Yeah.
And then you get later down, and you're like, how do I even beat this fight? It seems impossible. And you look it up, and I'm like, one of the easiest fights in the game that people get stuck on is this. And I'm like, thanks. Thanks for making me feel dumb. And then I read it, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But it never would have occurred to me because I just didn't understand the strategy game. I didn't understand how the different units interacted with each other to cause thus and such a result. And so it's a really hard balance of making sure your players understand it enough, especially in PvP games, because there is no way to make sure players understand everything because of how intricate the game is. People have to come up with new strategies to beat people who are using tried and tested strategies. So they have to come up with something brand new that beats that, but then people don't know about it, and when they try to do it, they fail, and they wonder why. And it's just, it's a really, really difficult thing to keep on top of, especially with, I'm thinking off the top of my head, like, CSGO and League of Legends. There's so many different things you can work with. There's so many different strategies that work. There's so many different strategies that completely counter each other that it's just, it's very, very difficult to keep it in your head unless you spend all of your days playing that game. Which not a lot of people can afford to do when they're trying to learn it.
Right. Okay. So, with that said, do you think that the community found within Portal, I guess I should say this by saying that, like, I don't know what the Portal community currently stands. I'd have to go on Reddit, I'd have to go on Twitter, and like actually find out where that is. But point being, though, if we were to assume or guess, do you think that the people found in Portal games are going to be toxic or not? Like, we intrinsically talk about, you know, we talk about ArcheAge and League of Legends and how, like, plenty of toxicity found inside those games. However, were we to look at Portal, do you think we'd find that set?
No. I'm certainly toxic people do play Portal.
Right, of course.
But I think the type of person who would go try to find a community based on their enjoyment of the Portal game wouldn't find a community full of people who are difficult to get along with.
Okay.
Because the kind of person who would go find a community for that game is probably not the kind of person who would be a bad impact on that community, if that makes sense.
Right.
And with, like, League of Legends, the reason, as far as I understand it, the reason the community is so toxic is because they're forced to interact with other players in the game. With Portal, it's a single-player game, so this comes back to single-player versus multiplayer PvP games. Okay. Single-player games, you have to go seek out the community yourself. Right. So anyone that has the initiative to do that is going to find a community, and they're going to try to be someone who the community is willing to accept. So the community is full of people like that, so it's going to be a decent community. But with League of Legends, you're forced to interact with 9 other people every single time you play. And if one of those people is toxic, you're going to be like, God, every single time there's someone toxic in the game. But maybe that's 1 out of 10 people in the community.
Right.
But that one person is the one you hear the most during the game, roasting everyone, flaming everyone, making them generally negative. And so you start attributing that to the game as a whole, and then you start thinking it's okay to be like that while you're playing that game because you've seen other people do it and there's no punishment for that. And that's why League has finally made something that punishes people who are toxic. And from what I hear from Turn Gnome, he still plays League a lot. He says that the community is actually getting a lot better because of the steps Riot has taken to finally crack down on people who are so toxic. And I think that that's, on the one hand, it's kind of a pain because they're gonna, like, and I don't know about, on the one hand, it seems like it's gonna be a pain because they're gonna, like, ban a lot of their community. But on the other hand, maybe they're not gonna ban as much of the community as we think, because maybe it's 5% of the community being toxic as hell, and everyone else thinks that's most of the community because that's the only people that actually talk. But once that 5% all get banned, maybe the League community is going to be a really great place to be.
Okay. So is Riot taking steps like now or like a few months ago, a few years ago?
They have been taking steps, and their steps are getting more more aggressive and more drastic, which for a lot of people in the community is scary, and it kind of takes away from their game. But personally, I think that it's going to have to get really harsh at first. And then once the community finally stops being as toxic, then they can start pulling back because they won't need it to be as harsh. But right now, they need a hard filter on super toxic people.
Okay.
And they don't necessarily need to ban them, but they just need to do something that like makes the person realize that it's not them being attacked, it's their toxicity being not accepted. Like they need to understand that it's not them personally the game hates, it's their behavior that is unacceptable. And if they change it, then they can come back no problem at all.
So with that said, my mindset went to how can we then tell players that like it's not you, it's it's not you, it's them, or like, you know, it's not you, it's not the game, it's you. Right? Because so here's the thing. Let's say that my question stems from the idea that a player recognizing that somebody else could potentially be toxic. Like you know, the idea of toxic is like, you know, flaming, trolling, XYZ, all of the above.
Yeah.
But let's say that like maybe a player has been reporting somebody that's been toxic, but they weren't toxic, they just thought that they were being toxic, and it's like, you know, they were just telling them like what would actually help them in a game, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm wondering, like, do you think it would be a good idea to facilitate a feedback loop from the developers, or not even from the developers, but from Riot, that basically said like, we saw that you put in a report, and after reviewing the report, we actually just want to give you a direct response that we don't recognize this as trolling or toxicity. This is actually just constructive criticism. But it's not done all the time. And in fact, if I remember correctly, I remember banning somebody a couple times. Or not banning, but reporting them. And the most response you get is like, due to your input, we have banned a player that you have reported.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. It's like, there's like no explanation for why that was done. And so, like, my question would be, do you think adding a feedback loop of like, we agree with your stance on trolling would be valuable? Or do you think that's unnecessary?
I think it would be difficult because that would come down to whatever individual employee made the response.
Okay.
And it would be really hard for them to, like, for a company as a whole to give you a stance that they take on that. And then, on the other hand, it would be really, really hard to do that because you'd have to have hundreds of thousands of employees going through hundreds and hundreds of thousands of reports. Because how I understand it, there's like multiple reports coming out of every single game played.
Right.
And the employees can't even track every single game played, let alone the multiple reports coming out of every single game played. So it would be too difficult of a task for them to undertake, at least right now. And unfortunately, that what you gave as an example, that happens all the time. There is someone who the team is trying to give them constructive criticism, but because that person is perhaps upset, maybe they're not in the best mind frame, maybe they just don't understand the game enough to take that criticism, maybe they don't understand what they're saying, they just see it as them being salty and targeting them.
Right.
And so maybe the person who's toxic is the one giving the report, which is really unfortunate, because then someone who might be helping the community might get banned for it. But there are ways to phrase it that make it apparent that it's constructive criticism. Like the difference between saying "you suck" and saying maybe if that skill shot had been aimed over here, we could have done something better.
Okay.
Or something like that. And it's a really, really, really blurred line. Like in some communities, there is a line between what is and isn't toxic. In League of Legends, that line is a giant gray field. Just because the community is so toxic. So many people recognize toxic things are not things that aren't toxic as toxic, and it's so hard to give feedback in that community without being seen as toxic just because so many people are looking for toxicity in that community.
Okay.
And I believe Riot's making an effort to clean that up, but man, that's a mess to clean up. So good luck to them. I hope they can do it. I'd like to play League of Legends more. but one of the biggest problems isn't actually the community, it's that each game is roughly 50 minutes.
Oh,
I don't have pretty much any point in time where I can just sit down for 15 minutes. Or 50 minutes. I usually have like 20 minutes, and then I have to go do something, and maybe that something only takes like a minute or two. But a minute or two in League of Legends means the game. Even though the game is 15 minutes, 1 minute of you missing would end it.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's for sure.
For your team. And so that not being able to play regularly on top of every time I play there's someone super toxic in the game. Right. It's just not an experience I enjoy, so I don't go back to it.
So I guess I want to change the topic, kind of like, you know, you were talking about all the struggles and all the difficulties that Riot would face as a company in order to mm-hmm. even try to address something like that. But like, what do you personally, I see a lot of positives that could come from it, because it would essentially be like, you know, telling the players, like, this is the type of game you're playing, this is the type of people that are behind it, and this is how we take your feedback, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's say that, like, you know, in the instance of, like, I reported somebody, they were actually giving me constructive criticism, but then, you know, nothing is ever said about it. What if instead the concept was like, hey, we saw your report, and seeing your report, we actually recognize this as constructive criticism. You know, and they could recognize that, like, yeah, they swore in the way that they talked, and like we don't condone that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just like, but we do think that, you know, adding value to yourself by becoming a more valuable player would not be a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
So, but then, like, essentially, like, yes, that's 100%. I agree. That's going to be difficult to do. However, don't you think that it would be kind of like adding to the sense of belonging if a company were to do that?
Yeah. Supposing that it's something that they are capable of doing, I think that a company that did that would be incredible for the player base to know that the company is actually like paying attention to every report they send in and actually listening to their feedback. And if they send a report in and the company comes back and says, we can see how that might look like a bannable offense, but based on how it's phrased, it's probably more along the lines of constructive criticism, and maybe if you take it to heart, you would be much better at the game. I know there's a lot of people who would just be like, well, Riot's taking their side and doesn't want to ban them.
Right, right.
But maybe those are the toxic people that you don't want playing your game anyway. And so the people that actually understand it and the people that actually do take it to heart, I think it would be a lot easier to take constructive criticism from the company themselves rather than some rando playing the game.
Right.
Because
right.
that rando playing the game might be really good, but there's no way of knowing. Especially not with all the Smurf accounts out there. There's no way of knowing if that person's actually good at the game or if they're just someone who's salty trying to tell you how to play. And it's such a difficult distinction to make. And I think that if Riot did that, it would definitely be leaps and bounds for their reputation,
mm-hmm.
and that might help their game. I'm not sure though. That would be a very complex thing that would have to be explored post them starting that.
Okay, this is like IQ 9000 here. But do you think that's something AI could potentially facilitate?
Maybe actually, just because of how we've got translating software that has to understand the meaning of a whole sentence rather than each individual word.
Right.
That might be something that AI could be programmed to do.
I just thought of a business idea.
But that would be really complicated and that would require a lot of testing.
Right, 100%.
Especially because of nuances, like there might be like a single word difference that completely changes the meaning of the sentence, mm-hmm. and an AI might not be able to catch that.
Right.
But I think an AI would be a great way to go about doing that if a company was really serious, but they would have to spend almost as much time developing that AI as they would actually doing the responses themselves. But I mean, once it's set up, they can just set it going and it'll respond to everything almost instantly.
Right. Yeah.
So it might be worth it. especially for a game that needs a serious toxicity scrubbing like League of Legends.
And we're calling you out, Riot.
And I bet if they built something like that, a lot of other companies would pay money to get their hands on something that could help them interact with their community much more quickly and much more efficiently, and tell the difference between someone just being toxic and someone trying to be helpful but maybe coming across in a negative way. And that's a nuance that I don't know if AI could even pick up on. Because most of the time, that's a nuance that people can't pick up on. Hard to program something when not even a person can do it.
I kind of want to ride this wave real quick, because I do like, I'm thoroughly enjoying this topic. With that actually said, we're kind of getting along the lines of like, from what I believe what we call emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And essentially, I guess I'm asking you in the sense of like, do you think that just like, you know, is emotional intelligence going to become more important in regards to our future, or is it going to become more important in regards to how we program AI? Completely side question. Like, I know it's this
both. I think emotional intelligence, it's really interesting because it's such a new, at least in the Western world, it's such a new idea.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that emotional intelligence is the difference between intelligence and wisdom.
Okay.
And in the Western world, when you see intelligence and wisdom as stats in a video game, a lot of people are just like, that's the same thing. But it's not. And the reason why they're there is because a lot of other cultures understand that. And so I think that that's something that's finally coming to the Western world that's gonna help a lot.
Okay.
And I don't know if we're gonna be able to program it.
Okay.
It's if someone figures it out, that's gonna be a huge thing for AI. That might be the thing that tips AI over the point to where we actually see it as true artificial intelligence, as opposed to just complex algorithms.
Right.
But that is a topic that I am not equipped to talk about.
Okay. No, that's totally fair.
I would love to explore that, but I am not properly educated, and I'm not experienced enough to even begin talking about that.
No, yeah, I just think it was just very interesting, because like in the process of talking about AI, you talk about like, you know, even humans having a hard time understanding between the differentiation between toxicity and constructive criticism.
Yeah.
So then it's kind of like, if that's going to become a thing that we eventually are going to filter out, is that going to become something that's going to be more important to know, or is that just something important for the feedback loop? And so, I mean, the answer was essentially both, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I think emotional intelligence just all around is going to be the thing that we're just going to need to inherently need as a species.
That is an incredibly high-level topic of conversation. Meaning a different podcast for that.
It's video games in mind, and if video games start facilitating AI, we'll be covering it.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you ever have any feedback, feel free to tweet at me at Versidax, VerCidax, and I'll happily respond. Drink lots of water, get plenty of rest, and I'll see you next time.